unity. It's a theme that should challenge us and impress itself on our hearts. It's the gospel message of peace and justice, forgiveness and salvation. And especially as we are in the halfway through the week of prayer for Christian unity, it's something that we should be particularly focused on as we pray for unity among Christian brothers and sisters. But it's not just among Christians that we desire unity. We desire unity amongst other faiths. And while we want to show that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, we want to show that through love, not hate. We want to be thinking about the need for social unity. We have seen so much in the last few months that has emphasized division in our communities through our own referendum about leaving the European Union. And of course, in the recent news this past week of President Trump being inaugurated as the 45th president of the United States. And we need to think too about the social division there is amongst those who have and those who have not. And we are asked particularly to think of the homeless. And on the notices you'll see, and Meg can give you more information about the request for clothing that we can give through the Stepping Stones charity to those who are in need. So I ask that we focus our personal prayer on overcoming division. We had that little visual of removing those stones, and those of us who are old enough will remember 1989, that tremendous occasion when the wall in Berlin came down. I find it interesting, actually, it's 28 years since that event, and the wall was up for 28 years. So that is an interesting celebration. And may that unity continue for far longer. In our readings today, we see unity of purpose between Jesus and John in our gospel. And we see in the Corinthians passage, Paul admonishing the Corinthian church for their division and lack of unity. John was preparing the people for Jesus' ministry, and he called them to repentance through baptism. But it was necessary for him to move from the scene so that he did not inhibit Jesus' own ministry. Jesus himself, we read in the first part of this gospel, when he heard that John had been arrested, withdrew to Galilee. He left Nazareth. Now you may recall that in Nazareth he had not been accepted. In fact, he was nearly stoned, but he managed to walk away. He was rejected by the Jews and he went to Galilee of the Gentiles, which is the first indication that the good news is for all people and is indeed for the non-Jews. And we rejoice because we are the recipients of that good news ourselves. Jesus had a discrete vocation, which comes from this passage. It says that he had a calling to teach, he had a calling to preach, and he had a calling to heal, because he is that great light that reveals the gospel to all of us in our need. It reveals the darkness of our lives. And what I find fascinating is that Matthew recalls that John and Jesus both had the same message. In Matthew chapter 3, John says, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." And here in chapter 4, verse 17, Jesus says the same. "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." The one was a projection of what was to be, and the second in Jesus was him inaugurating it, beginning that kingdom of heaven. Now, just What strikes me here in picking up a phrase that's in the Corinthians passage is that John and Jesus were of the same mind and purpose, which was to bring the good news of the kingdom of heaven. And in the 1 Corinthians passage at the beginning, Paul says, I pray that you may be united in the same mind and the same purpose, that there will be no divisions among you. There was the same mind and purpose in the response of the first disciples. When Peter and Andrew, James and John were called, there was immediate a mutual response. They went together. They were of the same mind. They accepted the lordship of Christ to command them, and they were united in their response and in their purpose. Why did Paul need to write what he did to the Corinthians? The letter deals with historic and contemporary issues, issues that very much face us today in our society. In fact, there was a word in ancient times which said to Corinthianize, and it meant to practice sexual immorality. It highlighted the nature and the character of the people of Corinth. No wonder the young church had a real struggle. And do we wonder why we as a church have a struggle in society today, where indeed in our society there is the same moral laxity? Postmodern behaviour says to us, we can do anything we like if it doesn't harm anyone. That's not what the Christian gospel is at all. Because we need to be thinking about what God wants of us and what is our witness and our testimony. The gospel, I believe, is a real challenge, and we need to respond to that challenge against postmodernity. If you do wish to, please read the passage from Corinthians and read the whole letter, which will cover a whole range of issues which Paul was taking issue with the Corinthians. But in particular, this passage focuses on the division that there was in the church. There was quarrelling, there was sectarianism, there was pride in the different leaders, which led to hero worship, a slipping of the focus from Jesus Christ to the temporal leader. And he speaks about that later on in his letter, about the church being divided between Apollos and Cephas against himself and against Christ. And Paul is reminding us that we should follow Christ, not man. And again, that is a challenge in today's society, where we hold up and celebrate so many for their celebrity status, and how shallow and hollow that is. The wall which we took down this morning is a visual image of what separates us from God and each other. And Paul, in his letter here, is saying to the Corinthian church, remove those things that separate you from God and one another, so that we may be united in the gospel. This year is the 500th anniversary, celebrating the start of the Reformation. And we are children of that Reformation. Our church is a product of the Reformation. And just as Paul challenged the Corinthians, so Luther challenged the church in Rome for all that was happening. Was dissent necessary? Did he envisage the outcome of his posting up of those 95 theses? I doubt he did. But he was determined to cut out and respond and challenge the immorality and greed that existed in the church of that time, 500 years ago. And we need to continue to be reformed. In Romans we read, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your minds. prepared to be changed by our personal witness, by our relationships one with another, to live out what is good and acceptable and perfect. I wonder how much we could explore what we do with working with other churches. I hope, and I would encourage anybody who can perhaps to get to the service tonight at the Methodist Church in Whitney, so that we as Christians can make a stand together and show our united witness to our world. Because it is through the unity of our fellowship, both our fellowship here as the church of the people of St. Bartholomew's, but also as our witness as Christians within our district, that we are the body of Christ. We are demonstrating that unity that Christ calls us to. And we need to be cautious about how our traditions and our practices may separate us from our worship of God. What is really important? It is that we come together into the Father's presence as we celebrate his glory. It is that we welcome the power of the Holy Spirit to change us. It is that we enjoy the fellowship with Jesus Christ as we meet with him. It is as we come around the table and we celebrate his supper and remember his love. And it is so important that we are tolerant of others and different ways of giving that glory to God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Let me finish with some words from Psalm 133. How very good and pleasant it is when kindred live together in unity. It is like the precious oil on the head, running down upon the beard, on the beard of Aaron, running down over the collar of his robes. It is like the dew of Hermon, which falls on the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord ordained his blessings, life forevermore. Amen. So let us pray that we too might enjoy that blessing ordained by the Lord by living in love and in unity with one another. Amen.